Fred Film Radio, Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, Czech Republic.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2019 Karlovy Vary International Film Festival. I'm here with the director Karolis Kopinis, director of Nova Lituania. Nova Lithuania, yeah. If you're an English speaker. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for watching the film, though.
Yeah, I'm very fascinated, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation about it. But just to start us off, would you be able to maybe say a few words to introduce it to our listeners who are not familiar with it? Maybe something about the story, as much as you'd like, basically.
Okay, so the story is set in the late 1930s in Lithuania, and it's based on a real events, basically a Lithuanian geographer in those times. He had this idea that the country is sooner or later going to be annihilated due to what was happening in late 1930s in Europe. And he had this idea that the country should set up a colony, like this alternative Lithuania somewhere overseas. And he was like desperately looking for this land and proposed this idea for the government of the time. So basically the film interprets the real historical events, and from there I started fictionalizing it.
It's a pretty crazy theory, right? Not so crazy when we think of it as something beyond the actual linear, maybe historical, so to speak, representation of what it could be. Before maybe we get into that, I just, curiosity of mine, is it inspired by anything that actually happened?
Yes, just as I said, this guy actually had this idea. He was working on it actively for almost a decade or way more, maybe 15 years. He was looking, traveling, analyzing. He finally came up with Portuguese colonies of that time where they had a lot of land, as he interpreted it, and he thought that they could share some with with us. But basically, due to the fact that he was himself from a small colony that was in danger of being colonized, he didn't want to colonize other people. And that brought him into this dead end where basically there was no free land for setting something new. So the real character, who is not actually the character in the film, but according to whom the main character of the film is based, he died in 1962 in the States, because he left Lithuania in 1939, just before the occupation happened. And until the end of his life, he basically kept on working on that. Last of his ideas was British Honduras as a possibility, but then British Honduras got independent from Britain itself, and then so the film itself doesn't really talk about that. It's mostly this geographer talking about this idea and dreaming about this idea with the prime minister. Both of them knowing that probably this is not going to happen. I think throughout the film you can kind of grasp it.
You know what I was thinking while I was watching the film is that I'm currently reading a Tolstoy book, The Death of Ivan Illich. And in this film, you don't only look at, let's say, the historical aspect, but you also look at his domestic situation. Yeah. I think the two are very related, right? Yeah. I think that's what you're trying to imply.
Yeah, right. I started with the writings of this person. So at the beginning, I was only thinking about what he thought and what he created himself. But then I suddenly got interested into what he was actually doing and how he was living at that time when he was dreaming about it. And basically, he was searching for a solution to everybody around him, but he could not find a solution for himself. He had a wife. They didn't have children. This wife was a well-educated woman for that time. She had a PhD. But due to the fact that he was so busy, she took care of home, that bore her. And then his mother-in-law, just basically at the very same time, came from the United States, where she resided, and intended to split up that family, basically. Wow. So in the film, we jump up from what is happening at his home into what is happening in these public offices, etc.
I guess observations about masculinity, maybe expectations of masculinity.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's natural that for those years and for those times, the role of a female in a society has kind of a secondary aspect, and especially for that couple who both were equally educated and equally interested. His wife basically remained someone who was in the shadow of this guy having these great ideas, and then taking her for granted, basically, and that what created most of the problems. So I tried it to basically put this into film.
So in other words, despite the fact that it is a film that's set in the early 20th century, it's quite a contemporary story. And
I think the situation of family for sure changed into the better, but historically, I mean, if we compare the maybe political aspects more of that, I see a lot of parallels with late 1930s and contemporary situation, and especially in Eastern Europe and in Eastern European countries. That's why I basically did the film, a period film, because otherwise I don't see any point in spending money on art and everything, you know. So it's pretty costly, but at the same time, I think that when you talk about something that happened in the past, the time difference creates a more objective view for our audience. Like, they identify and not identify themselves at the same time, mm-hmm. so they can kind of look into the mirror through this window of time frame. So.
Yeah, but that's interesting to me that you would say that that time frame would feel so contemporary, because to me that makes me think, maybe it's a little more contemporary than, say, the 70s even, because of the situation that was happening.
Might be so. I think I perceive history more as the cyclical thing, you know, which keeps on turning. So it doesn't mean that it has a linear vertical where you just keep on progressing. Yeah. I think it's more you kind of roll. And therefore, certain periods are more similar to certain periods that are way later than, let's say, as you say, like, for example, maybe 70s will be something similar to what we'll perceive in 2050. But but right now, I see a lot of similarities with 30s.
I just want to go back to the style, too, because we should mention that. It's quite an interesting style, and I wanted to know a bit more about it. First of all, the choice of using black and white, can you tell me a bit more about that?
At the beginning, the choice was really simply based on the fact that our budget was very limited. That's my first feature film. I'm a debut filmmaker in a way that it's the first time I do a feature film, and therefore I can get a limited budget for it. And we needed to solve it somehow, because I still want to do this period film. So we shot most of it in Kaunas, which in interwar period, that's Lithuanian city, second Lithuanian town, and which is has some 400,000 inhabitants. But in interwar period, it was a temporary capital of the country, was developing fast, and they created kind of a modernist architecture out there. Mm. Which you would see in Tel Aviv and in other cities that thrived in the 1930s. And therefore, you would have a lot of interiors that would be typical for 1930s. Therefore, we wanted to shoot it out there and took kind of a hints towards the cinematography from the architectural aesthetics of that town. But it's pretty worn down. So if you shoot it in color, you need to spend a lot of money in art decor and just to redo everything. In black and white, you don't see that much. That kind of, you know, polishes it itself. But at the same time, yes, it is a period film. And we basically drew a lot of inspiration from a Lithuanian photographer of that time. He was a very interesting guy, basically working for newspapers, but he was making photos of all these public events, like official ceremonies, something bombastic. Mm-hmm. But he was always pressing the button of the camera like 2 seconds earlier or 2 seconds later, and it was supposed to be. Likewise, he would catch a motion of someone, a president, let's say, which wouldn't be there, you know, someone is picking up his nose or something, like these kind of things that suddenly out of all the pompastic brings up a human life into the character. And therefore, some of the frame, some of the scenes are basically just we took literally the photos of that guy and recreated them and made them alive. So it's Vytautas Augustinas, his name, but probably nobody knows him outside Lithuania.
Well, it's a good opportunity to know more about him. That's fascinating. Yeah,
he later after Nazis took over, after the Soviet occupation, he finally left to the States and spent the rest of his life in there, just like the guy who had the idea of intensive Lithuania, a lot of Lithuania, diaspora of that time.
So. Right. Mind-blowing. We're running out of time here, but I wanted to ask you just one more question. You mentioned that this is your first feature film. Did you have any challenges to overcome, or what was your learning experience from it?
Mostly the challenges were related to budget, yeah. Basically, and also to my inexperience in script writing, which means that I rewrote and rewrote and rewrote so many times. I needed to... It was pretty hard to interpret this idea of an alternative Lithuania, to find a way to make it cinematic, because that's pretty intellectual idea with a lot of like words and numbers and everything. But to turn it into cinema, still, the film has a lot of, you know, dialogues and a lot of talking. So it might be a bit heavy for someone who doesn't really know the context and everything. But finally we came up to this moment where I just decided I won't rewrite it again.
And
the film is done.
Okay, well, we're going to have to wrap it up, but it was fascinating talking with you. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks very much for watching the film and asking this.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.